You're tuned in to Taylorsphere, Education Redefined, a podcast series where we speak with voices from Taylor's University about Taylorsphere, a uniquely curated education ecosystem within Taylor's University that helps future-proof its graduates by nurturing their three intelligences: intellect, practical wisdom, and craft. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me on this episode is Professor Dr. Pradeep Nair, who is the Deputy Vice Chancellor and Chief Academic Officer at Taylor's University. We're going to be discussing Taylor's University as a whole, Taylorsphere, and their modern approach to education, and how that helps its graduates in the future. So the first question I have for you is obviously to do with the pandemic, and it's really accelerated the changes in the education sphere. So can you tell me a little bit about how our universities are adapting?
Sure, Christine. Probably one of the most obvious changes is the digital transformation and the accelerated use of technology in universities. Some have even described this as the world's largest experiment in rapid digital transformation. And I believe that this digital transformation is here to stay. We can't go back to previous practices. And fully blended universities will thrive as an entire generation of young learners have now experienced online learning for more than a year. So the hybrid model of teaching that is being practiced now, in a way, has forced the adaptation to the challenges presented by COVID-19. And at the same time, this is almost like a pilot of what I think will become the mainstay of tertiary education. And over at Taylor's, we adopted what is called a borderless learning approach, meaning that students can opt to attend physical classes or join the live stream online from anywhere in the world, while simultaneously engaging with their peers in chat groups and so on within our virtual learning platform. There are also live discussions on project work that take place online. Submission of assignments and assessments are all done online. And all these are taking place within our award-winning virtual learning environment, or VLE, that features over 1,000 microsites, one for each course within a program. There's loads of gaming within this site as well, and over 40,000 recorded lectures that students can have access to. Now, having said that, I think it's important to appreciate that not all learning can be done online. Practical sessions will still need to take place in person for now, although we are witnessing many of our innovative lecturers creating simulations in virtual labs and live streaming, for example, their surgical procedures and so on. Right. We must understand that most learners across the world are social learners, and they long for that interpersonal interactions. And we cannot deny that those interactions are necessary to develop many future job skills. Mm-hmm. So it's worth mentioning at this point that an effective hybrid teaching model can only work if the university is willing to commit resources into a strong digital architecture backed by a team that supports academics in all things technological. This is one area that I see universities will invest more in. Now, having said that, it's not just the method and the medium of teaching that is changing. I believe even the content and the framework of our curriculum needs to change. Mm. And we've been reinventing curriculum pedagogy and content to suit the different types of learners in order to prepare them for a post-pandemic world where, more than ever before, academic intelligence is not the most important factor for success. Mm. You see, there are three forms of intelligence. And if I may, this was formulated by psychometrician Robert Sternberg, which comprises three parts. The first is componential, the second is experiential, and the third is practical. Now, Sternberg viewed intelligence as how well an individual deals with environmental changes throughout their lifespan. And the componential focuses on the intellect and academic proficiency. The experiential focuses on capacity to be intellectually flexible and innovative, while the practical focuses on how individuals create an ideal fit between themselves and their environment. And that practical component is often what we refer to as, you know, our children being street smart. So for tailors, we call these three components intellect, craft, and practical wisdom. And these three intelligences are what we hope to nurture in our ecosystem called the Taylor Sphere.
So this ecosystem, right, Taylor Sphere, it sounds like a really interesting concept, but how are you actually bringing this to life?
The Taylor Sphere ecosystem is much like a greenhouse, where it has an ideal environment for plants to thrive. And this is something that Taylor's has created within our campus and our learning environment to ensure our graduates are future-proofed. What this means is that every type of learner has a place in Taylor's. You could be a bookworm, for want of a better, of another word, or maybe you're not very academic, but you are street smart. Or perhaps you're very good with ideas and very good with your hands. And we believe that can be a valuable thing. So the idea is to incorporate all three pillars of intelligence into the student's learning journey so that by the time they graduate, they would have acquired academic knowledge, the life skills to adapt to any situation, and the ability to produce solutions to work as well as societal problems. So perhaps I could elaborate, and let me start off by talking a little bit about intellectual intelligence. Our Taylor's curriculum framework, which we launched 2 years ago, is meant to encourage broad-based learning, where students will be able to mix and match their subjects by taking majors, minors, extensions, double minors, double majors in various subjects. So why can't an engineering student take electives in psychology, for example? And why can't a communication student learn marketing as well? Or maybe an arts student can pick up modules in IT, because by doing that, we enhance our students' experiences and their body of knowledge across a wider area. And this is important because we are now in an era where many traditional jobs will become obsolete and new jobs will emerge to tackle problems that are increasingly complex and often have more than one right answer. And such jobs require interdisciplinary education that develops skills in problem solving, critical thinking, evaluation, synthesis, and integration. So imagine an accountant who has programming knowledge, and this person could then effectively work with or even design accounting software that automates certain processes for accounting purposes. And I think the distinction between one job and another job, or one discipline and another discipline, is beginning to blur. And I see the need for flexible, interdisciplinary, or hybrid programs. So at Taylor's, we've rolled out interdisciplinary and technology-infused programs in the last 2 years. That merges components of two or more disciplines into a single program of instruction. But there can only be so many hybrid programs a university can offer. So the way forward is to allow our students to gain additional knowledge and skills, not within their own degrees, not within their own disciplines, and allow them to enroll in micro-credentials from other disciplines or from, you know, related to other jobs, which can help them gain some kind of expertise in certain areas, such as using sales or data analytical software. And while I'm still on this point of interdisciplinary exposure, what we have done is our final year students across the entire university now have to carry out not just a discipline-centric project, but also a multidisciplinary project. Where a student from the business school will collaborate with students from the design school to complete their final year project, or a student from the hospitality school working with students from the communication school We have students from our biomedical science program working with IT students on solutioning in their final year projects. And we're trying to mimic the way industry works when teams made up of individuals of different expertise will have to collaborate on projects.
Right. I mean, it really sounds like Taylor's is focusing a lot on balance and trying to give people, I guess, as wide a variety of skills as well, you know, so that they're prepared for whatever may come their way in the future. I mean, like you said, that point about how, you know, jobs are beginning to blur, right? I mean, for example, you know, sitting here doing this interview, this podcast with you, you know, it's not only about being able to speak well, but it's also being able to operate the Zoom meeting, for example, and having those skills and having the software skills and the knowledge to be able to do that. It's being able to work our recording software as well. It's being able to, you know how to handle this sort of conversation. So, you know, it sounds like that's kind of what Taylor's trying to do is, you know, give your students the variety of skills that they may need for the future so that they can be a little bit more flexible and adaptable, right?
Absolutely. You see, the challenge in higher education, not just in Malaysia, in many parts of the world, is that it has often been very discipline-centric. Mm. And we are constrained by program standards issued by the authorities, as well as professional bodies that are still insisting on students having to deep dive into a particular discipline. I believe it's no longer the I model, you know, the letter I, but it's more of the T model, the letter T, where students not only need to have competencies and skills within the discipline, but they must also have an appreciation to a broader context of right. knowledge and skills. And I think what is very important is to allow students to be able to do as many electives, free electives. Mm-hmm. This country offers electives, but it's often core electives or compulsory electives or prescribed electives. I think our students are mature enough to be able to decide for themselves how they want to curate their learning experience and be able to do something outside their own discipline and be able to enrich themselves and make them a lot more relevant in the fourth or even the fifth industrial revolution.
Yeah, you don't just have to, you know, deep dive and become an expert in only one discipline. Now it's, you know, maybe you are primarily, you know, focused on one specific thing, but you have the room now to grow in other directions as well. Now, you also mentioned micro-credentials or these, you know, kind of shorter form courses that your students can take. And nowadays, I think, you know, offering such courses seems to be on the rise as well as work-based learning, you know, in the realm of like upskilling, reskilling. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, let me start with micro-credentials. Mm-hmm. I believe there will be an increasing demand for evidence of key capabilities, either for employment or to undertake self-employment. And this includes job-specific skills or soft skills, and institutions have to begin to award complementary transcripts to highlight the acquisition of specific skills, which will give its students an edge upon graduation. So flexible, stackable, industry-recognized micro-credentials or skill certificates that provide evidence of an individual's professional abilities might be the way of the future. And this is what we're trying to do at Taylor's. So apart from a degree, so you mm-hmm. can imagine someone graduating with a bachelor's degree in computer science, but he or she would have micro-credentials in Python, in project management, and a range of industry-relevant software or hardware knowledge that allows employers to be able to assess those specific skills or competencies that they actually have. And if you transpose this across other disciplines, you can imagine a doctor or you can imagine a pharmacist not only having a degree, but carrying with them multiple micro-credentials. And I believe that you know, one of the things we're trying to do in Taylor's is apart from studying the core courses, can you take, you know, one credit micro-credentials, stack them up to make up your electives, and you could be doing anything from languages to computer skills to learning about data science or, you know, learning first aid, for example, or digital marketing. And the idea is to allow for that flexibility in our degree program so students can curate according to their interests, their ambitions, and their strengths. You also brought up the concept of work-based learning.
Yeah.
I think the days of closed-looped education are numbered. Now, closed-looped meaning you enter the university and you are deemed to have completed your study when your degree is over after 3 or 4 years, and then you enter the workforce.
Right.
I believe in open-looped education. Can a student possibly start working first and then start his first and second semester, or start by doing his first 2 semesters on campus and then, you know, move to the industry for the next semester, come back? So we've started work-based learning in a big way at Taylors.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we launched 4 work-based learning degrees in computer science, social innovation and social change, in international relations, and also in culinary management. This year, the team is working on more work-based learning degrees. And the model we've adopted is students spend the first 2 years on campus, like a regular campus-based semester system. But they spend the entire final year of their study learning in company, in organizations that are among the Fortune 500 companies around the world. So student learning does not need to take place independent from their industry experience or applied learning. And students spend this entire period of time in the industry, and we believe that's going to enhance not just their employability, but also their readiness to face the challenges of the post-pandemic era.
Right. I mean, that tied in with what you mentioned earlier about that final project that some of your students have to do that's multidisciplinary, right? So, for example, a student from the business school has to work with someone from the communications kind of aspect of the schools as well. It sounds like Taylors is trying to formulate, you know, these experiences, like you said, to mimic the way that the working world works. You know, you're not going to, for example, only just be keeping your head down in marketing. You're going to probably interact with the sales team. You might interact with the people who are creating content for you guys as well. You might have to, look even further and work with people who are completely outside of your organization and create those relationships. And that, it sounds like you are trying to kind of create situations where if you're not at least mirroring these experiences, you're actually giving outright your students the opportunity to experience this sort of thing firsthand before they finish their degree kind of officially.
Absolutely. You see, the at the rate knowledge evolves in the world today, it is impossible for one person in one discipline to know everything and to be ready for the challenges in the working world. So collaboration between people across different disciplines to think critically, to be creative, and to problem solve becomes a very, very important way in which people are going to work. So interdisciplinary teams, and not just in one particular company, but across different countries. So imagine the cultural differences that one would encounter when they have to work with people in Dubai, in Germany, in Philippines, all at once. And imagine the kind of mindset change that's required when a marketeer has to talk to an IT person, who has to talk to a designer, who maybe even have to talk to a doctor because they're trying to develop a medical app, for example. So I think what we're trying to do at Taylors is to recreate that environment in the future workplace and be able to put students in that context from the first day they start their degrees.
Right. Earlier you mentioned as well that intellectual or I guess academic intelligence may not actually be the most important factor for graduate success looking towards the future. So what do you think about the other 2 intelligences that you mentioned? Do you think that universities should start to have more, I guess, structured activities or programs to nurture the other 2 intelligences that you mentioned earlier as well?
So Christine, here's the reality. For many employers, intellectual intelligence, or rather the skills needed, the knowledge and the skills needed for a job, is assumed to be a given for the last few years and from here on. So what sets a graduate apart from thousands of other degree holders coming out to the job market each year? what is it that sets them apart? Employers tell us that it's called soft skills, right? Mm. And to us, it falls under what we call practical wisdom pillar that I mentioned earlier, or the street smart type of intelligence. And in a report published by Kazana in 2018, it was confirmed that employers rated soft skills as important as academic qualifications, and some employers say more important than academic qualifications. Mm. So in a sense, everyone knows about this, and many institutions would assume that their students will pick this up somewhere along their degree through co-curricular activities, or they would say that, don't worry, it's all integrated as part of your projects or your assignments that you do right. During your course. Mm-hmm. But at Taylor's, we've adopted a very intentional approach to incorporate and measure these soft skills within our degree programs. So at the very base, we design our degrees to introduce these skills in the first year, develop them in the second year, and culminate them by the final year, mm-hmm. right? And these skills are what we call the Taylor's graduate capabilities. We have 8 capabilities, and we broke down these 8 capabilities into 45 sub-attributes, right? Mm-hmm. And these capabilities include things like cultural adaptation, communication, critical thinking, leadership, and so on and so forth. So what is important is the 45 sub-attributes, right? So we took communication and we broke it up into 6 sub-attributes of communication. We took critical thinking and we broke it up into 5 or 6 sub-attributes of critical thinking. And then we ensured that there are assessments within each of our courses that measure these sub-attributes. Mm. And then we aggregate them. And at the end of your course, students not only receive their academic transcript, but they also receive a graduate capabilities statement, right? That actually gives them a score on communication, on collaboration, on critical thinking, on creative thinking, on cultural adaptation, on entrepreneurialism. So you can imagine you don't just have an academic score in economics or mathematics or physics or whatever, but you also have a score for communication, critical thinking, problem solving. Mm. Why are we doing this? Because obviously employers would value an assessment of those soft skills, but personally to me, what gets measured gets done. Mm. And our students from kindergarten all the way to SPM have been ingrained with this belief that their marks are what matters the most. And so you find that our students tend to be very good at getting marks. And so what we're trying to do is rewire the way our students think and ensure that, you know, if marks are being awarded for your problem-solving skills and your communication skills, we believe that because it is measured, our students are going to start focusing on those skills. Mm. And we hope that this is an approach that other universities in the country and in the region will start to adopt. We were the first to adopt this approach, we call it the graduate capability statement. Mm-hmm. And apart from a degree and the different classes of the degree you get, our students also get the Shine Award, and depending on their performance in those soft skills, they get the Shine Platinum, the Shine Gold, or the Shine Silver Award.
Right.
And we believe that this is the way in which universities can actually introduce, develop, and culminate the soft skills to its graduates. Apart from this, we also hired an entire life skills team made up of certified instructors whose job is to teach students those kind of street smart skills and life skills like mindfulness, stress management, intercultural communication, design thinking, time management. So what we did was we made life skills and emotional intelligence compulsory modules for all undergraduates in the first year.
And so now you've kind of covered the practical wisdom, the intellect. So where does the craft component come in?
Students need to apply what they've learned, mm-hmm. right? And this is where the craft component comes in. Every university student in Taylor's, every undergraduate student will take up a social innovation module in the first year, in the second semester. So imagine that tailors now, in the first semester, they learn about life skills and emotional intelligence. And in the second semester, they take up another module called social innovation. Mm. What's interesting about this module is that it's a discipline agnostic module. So it is a module that doesn't belong to any discipline. And this is a module in which we put a medical student, an IT student, a business student, or a communication student in one group. Mm. And students have the opportunity to be able to solve real world problems, without being tied to any particular discipline, right? They could be looking at how to alleviate poverty among single mothers in a PPR flat, or they could be looking at how to ensure that flooding in a particular area can be resolved. And so we have 1,000 over students undertaking this module in about 100 odd groups, and these groups are multidisciplinary by nature. And we hope that this is one of the ways in which we introduce them to the idea of problem solving, critical thinking, and creative thinking. Mm-hmm. Students also have the opportunity to realize their entrepreneurial dreams and receive guidance with ideation, prototyping, funding, and product commercialization under the mentorship of the Taylor's Mereka Makerspace, under the mentorship of our business incubator called BizPod. So we already have quite a number of student startups and businesses that have gotten their launching pad thanks to BizPod. And that's a team that advises our students on business and marketing strategies. Mm. And some examples is students have come up with a business to develop and sell a parking app. And we also have Cultivate, which is a brand that was started by our culinology students to provide ready-to-eat meals and gourmet sauces. And I think employers are increasingly preferring graduates that demonstrate entrepreneurialism. And by that, it's about graduates that have a growth mindset, who can identify business value, take risks, and innovate to seize business opportunities and strengthen the business competitive edge. So we are very excited by what we're doing at Taylor's, and we're moving in this direction as a university where we're giving students a head start in life by providing them with a safe environment to try, to fail, to try again, to explore and discover their innate skills and be relevant to the future post-pandemic world.
That was fantastic. Thank you so much for speaking to me today about Taylor's Fear and the Three Intelligences on today's show. That was Professor Dr. Pradeep Nair, Deputy Vice Chancellor and Chief Academic Officer at Taylor's University. That concludes this episode of Taylor's Fear Education Redefined, where we discussed ways that Taylor's University is approaching education and how that helps future-proof their graduates. I'm Christine Wong, and you've been listening to BFM 89.9.